Today's shiur is sponsored in part by Rabbi Mrs. Moshe Berger in honor of Yerach Neil's recent birthday and his 15th bar mitzvah anniversary. Mazel tov. I'd also like to mention, I was reminded by this by the weather yesterday. As I was walking home, absolutely drenched from shul, from yeshiva, Shabbos morning, I remember seeing on the list of Rabbi Sharfman's, that's Al Shirim, that he had a shir called The Rain of Terror. Halachas to do when you get caught in the downpour. So I was walking home with a friend, a guest. I was trying to figure out, I didn't listen yet to that shir, but I was trying to think of all the halachic issues that I was going through right now when my clothes are soaking wet. And unfortunately here in South Florida, there's definitely something that could come quite handy. So that was, I believe, shir number 174. There also was, I saw back later, last week part of the shir that we talked about was regarding the halachos of dealing with flowers. Rabbi Sharfman has a shir of flowers and plants. I believe that's 144. One's 174, one's 144. So a nice advertisement that definitely could to listen to. Today's shir we named the Duchening Dilemma. And Harvey and company were quite quick to come up with many dilemmas that people have with Duchening. One is the color of the socks that you wear if you're a Kohen. In today's world, people have the men's sock line resembles maybe more the women's side of the store. And you never know what people could find. So you do have to be a little careful. You know, people, we'll talk about in a moment, there's Chazal afraid that people get distracted and stare at the Kohanim's hands when they duchen. Nowadays, people could be staring at their feet. Additionally, obviously, people also have to be careful to make sure they're, even non-Kohanim have this when they travel, is make sure that your socks are whole when you pass through security or when you stand up there in front of hundreds of people. But no, none of those are the Duchening Dilemma that I'd like to deal with today. It's actually an age-old question of why is it that we do not have Duchening here in the Chutz La'aretz. Really, I'll go through the question in a moment, but it's a question that perked my interest, A, because we just went through the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and Baruch Hashem, we're zochet to have multiple opportunities for Duchening. And you think about it, the next time we're going to have Duchening is all the way in the other side of the year, by Rosh Hashanah. So between now and Rosh Hashanah, here in Chutz La'aretz, unless we happen to have the schus of visiting Eretz Yisrael, there's no duchening. Why is that not? Now the background, the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, we refer to as duchening because they stand up on the platform. That's where the name came about. But the halacha of Nesias Kapayim of Birchas Kohanim is a mitzvah that came up in this past week's parsha. And there is some degree of a dispute. Does that mitzvah apply nowadays in Chutz La'aretz where we have no Beis HaMikdash? And there is somewhat of a dispute about it. Rabbi Yaakov Enden holds that there is no mitzvah outside of the Beis HaMikdash nowadays, mitzvah Sei Daraisa at least, of Berachas Kohanim. But the Mishnah Berurah, in a rare footnote that he has, he put a footnote into the Mishnah Berurah. And he writes, this is on the bottom of your first sheet, first side of the sheet. V'dad, and nisiyas kapayim b'chol tzaretz, hu gam kei midaraisa. It's a mitzvah say midaraisa. V'chein itiku kol poskim. They quote a member of the Yeshua ben Levi. And he wants to bring multiple other sources to back up such a position. So the Chavetz Chaim clearly paskins that Birchas Kohanim today, even in Chutz La'aretz, is 100% a mitzvah say midaraisa. So hey, why aren't we doing that? If you think about it, How many mitzvah saseis or raisas do we do on a daily basis? Not too many. Many people could probably count them on, you know, on their two hands, the mitzvah saseis or raisas that we daily, consecutively, have a zchus to do. I see the hand. Additionally, the Beis Yosef, which we'll read in a moment, brings, there actually are three mitzvahs aseis in Berachos Kohanim now. The extent of how many mitzvahs there are is debatable. According to some poskim, there's a mitzvah not just on the Kohanim to give the bracha, but it's also a mitzvah on the congregation to receive the bracha. That's pretty good. You get a bracha and you receive a bracha, and that's a mitzvah. So the potential of missing out on three mitzvahs, I say, is a big deal. If we do duchening every day, we'll talk about that in a moment. Right? You could have three mitzvahs, I say. Additionally, another point, it's clear from Chazal that Birchas Kohanim is something which brings to a person and his family tremendous, tremendous bracha. Hashem utilized the vehicle of the Kohanim as a means of going through a process of generating zchusim, of giving us a bracha. That bracha affects us there, everybody there, but you'll see in some of the tefillos, the yiratzon, we talk about our family, our wives, our children, even people who are not there. And having more bracha in our lives would obviously be a wonderful thing. So that's another reason behind Berachos Kohanim. And an additional reason, there's a Gemara that talks about that when the Kohanim are duchening, that's the perfect time for a person to mispalel about his dreams. And that's the idea behind this tefillah that we say in between the brachos of the Kohanim, the tefillah of Ribono Shel Olam. In that tefillah, we talk about a person who has dreams, and we want those dreams to be changed for perhaps a negative, a Midas Hadin type dream, to transform that into a positive dream. Take away any problem with that. In fact, there is even a dispute amongst the poskim. Do you recite the Ribono Shel Olam two times or even three times during each interlapse between the brachas? So there's a lot riding on Berachos Kohanim. A lot of potential mitzvah saseis, multiple mitzvah saseis, bracha, a schus for dreams. So that leads us to the big question, why don't we do that every day? If we potentially could get so much out of Berachos Kohanim, this is something we should be jumping at. Opportunity for mitzvahs, mitzvah saseis, bracha, you know, help us with our dreams. What are we supposed to do if we have a dream between now and Rosh Hashanah? You know, hold it off. You know, there are other halachas sometimes a person has a tough dream. It's another share. Now, additionally, what adds to the question, besides all that we might gain, what adds to this really big question, why don't we do Berachos Kohanim, is the fact that many people do Berachos Kohanim. I'll let you in secret. The Beis Yosef brings, and that is a practice followed by most Sfardim today, is they have Berachos Kohanim, even in Chutz La'aretz, every single day. So if you daven in a Sephardi shul, in many places across America, all over Chutz La'aretz, there is Berachos Kohanim. And if you're a Sephardi who daven in an Ashkenazi shul, you'll not get that. Why not? More than that, in Eretz Yisrael, they do it every single day. Are we second-class citizens? They do it there every day. Why can't we do it every day? And really, there's a third group of people. Even in Eretz Yisrael, there are some places that don't do it every day. Certain places in the Galil, Tver Yitzvas, I've seen Be'er Sheva, where they don't do it every day. In that sense, they're close to Asil Chatzaretz. But they do it, besides on Yontif, every Shabbos. Anytime there's Mosaf, I'm not sure about Rosh Chodesh, but I know for sure on Shabbosim, they duch it. So what is this? If I go to the Sephardi shul in America, England, I'll get Birchas Kohanim. If I go to Eretz Yisrael, I'll have Birchas Kohanim. And even the spots in Eretz Yisrael that don't duchen every day, you'll get duchening on Shabbos. So how come over here in America, or here in Chutz La'aretz, do we not duchen every day? That is a major, major question. And a question that was troubling me. And I've seen troubled many throughout the ages. So I'd like to go through a few answers to the question, responses to those answers, a perspective from the Beis Ephraim, and then I'd like to go through some practical shilos that come about regarding Birchas Kohanim, especially between America and Eretz Yisrael.
I've been in those places, and it's almost so desensitized, they're up there in 4.5 seconds, and it loses its beauty and meaning like we see it on our Yom Kippur.
Interesting. You are bringing up the idea that, well, you know, that when we do it at a certain smaller intervals, we appreciate it more. Okay. That might be, you know. People have lots of feelings about 2 days of Yom Tov versus 1 day of Yom Tov. You know, what's more beautiful is this. Practically, if you're getting a bracha every day, if you're doing this to say Midaraisa every day, you know, that's a big deal. If you have a means of satisfying your nervousness about a dream, that's a big deal. So you're right. You know, unfortunately, sometimes when we do things on a daily basis, we get desensitized. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't do something, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So that's the big question on the floor. Why is it that we don't do Birchas Kohanim every day? One of the earliest people to deal with this question is the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, Yosef Kaira, the Beis Yosef. And he brings, this question was discussed by Rishonim. By the Maril asked this question to the Ugger, Sefer Ugger. And that I'll read inside. It's on your sheets, marked off, Os Aleph. Kasava Argosh initial L'maril, Lama in Kohanim Nosim Kapeim B'chol Yom. Why don't Kohanim do Dukkening every day? Me'achashu Mitzvah Sasei. After the fact, it's already mitzvah saseh. Veheshiv, and he answered, "Mipnesha minakah kohanim litvol kodem." There's a minhag of kohanim to go to the mikvah before they do berachos kohanim. Kamo shekasev vagos maimuni. Uvechol yom kashahem litvol achorif. Hey, especially during the winter months, European winter months for sure, it's very hard for people to be tovel every day. And that's why the minhag came about that we only do it on Yontif. If Kohen is not called up, he wouldn't be over in this Havera. That is all the response of the Ugger why we don't do it. So his basic reason, his basic reason is since there's an Inyan to go to the mikvah beforehand, and going to the mikvah on a daily basis, especially in continents where the weather was quite cold during the winter, so it's a hard thing to do. They didn't have heat in mikvahs. So that's why the minhag developed not to do dukkening every day. Comes the Beis Yosef, and he uses quite harsh words. He responds, "Dachuk atmo." He pushed himself. "Lakayim minog makomo veino maspek." This is not suffice. Ki mashakalsa mimnesha nogim litvol kodem. The fact that he said is a minog to be tovel before you do duchening. Hay chumra de asvade kulahu. Beautiful line. That's a chumra which leads to a kula. That's something which you're taking on stringency. But from that stringency, you're actually working backwards. It's hurting your religious obligations. Furthermore, v'tali tanya b'lilo tanya, your basing something which has relevance and sources on something which has no source. Sharei tefila l'nesias kapayim l'chuskul b'talmud. There's no mention in the Gemara for a person to go to the mikvah before you do birchas kohanim. Then heim nagel l'hachmei of litvo l'magid v'al b'shvul kach shlosh shaseh b'chol yom. And even you decide to take on this chumrah that you want to go to the mikvah every day before you do tefila. But hey, how do you have the right with that to mevatel three mitzvahs asay? And he says further, we'll skip to the last line, v'yasha kolcham shel b'nei Eretz Yisrael v'chol malchus b'tzrayim. Interesting. In the Beis Yosef's time, it was the places in Eretz Yisrael and Egypt, malchus b'tzrayim, shenosef kapayim b'chol yom v'enu tovlim nesias kapayim. So the Beis Yosef totally rejects this answer of the Ugur. We'll see. I'll go back on that line, totally rejects. But he argues on this, and he gives a big yashikarek for those in Eretz Yisrael and in Egypt who did Birchas Kohanim. And the Mechaber and the Svardim alike, through the ages, based on this, always did Birchas Kohanim. So that's one answer down. Say that you're just the excuse for not doing Birchas Kohanim is tefillah. It's pretty hard to understand. Tefillah is a minna. Tefillah is something Mishnah Berurah brings down. There's no chiyuv whatsoever to do that. No chiyuv. So you're going to knock a mitzvah say because you want to do some chumrah of tefillah? How can you do such a thing? So that's one answer. A second answer I saw, it's actually brought down in the tshuva of the Beis Ephraim. Now, on the back of these sheets, I did bring the tshuva of the Beis Ephraim, which looks like lots of words, but let me tell you, this is just, you know, a drop in the bucket. This tshuva of the Beis Ephraim is thousands and thousands and thousands of words. And in the middle of it, he does bring, that part I didn't put on the sheets. There's more than enough that he has to say in the back, I'll get to it. But the Beis Ephraim offers an interesting reason. He says, nowadays, especially with Kohanim, we don't know well our yichus. And there might be some who associate themselves as Kohanim, but in truth, they're not. We have to be careful. We have three chashava Kohanim, at least, I see here in the audience. Right? There might be fake news nowadays, but no. There's halachas 100%. A person's a Kohen, he's Bechaskas a Kohen. Get to that in a moment. But the Beis Ephraim wanted to offer is that being the fact already, the Beis Ephraim was Ephraim Margolis, contemporary of the Tzos, and Sivas, and he lived around 300 years ago. And he was saying in his times already, there was questions about Yichus, and therefore, to just do Birchas Kohanim every day, make brachos, an assumption, not so poshut. And that's why it's only limited to Shabbos and Yontif. We shouldn't forget the mitzvah, we shouldn't totally be involved in the mitzvah, but to do it on a daily basis, where Kohanim's yichus is questionable, that was the base of Ephraim's reason. Now, I can't say I found, you know, there's a lot written on this topic. I can't say I ever found a response to every single answer, but I thought to that one, let me first respond, then I'll take you over, Berger, that isn't not also not an easy answer to accept. Because first off, I'll give you an example. There's many mitzvahs that say the pidgin of Ben. That we do with Kohanim, we assume, we align their chazakas, he's a kosher Kohen. We do that. And, you know, many things. The chazakah that we have for people being Kohanim, you know, is a chazakah that's accepted. And to cast dispersions, oh, here, you know, we're not going to accept Kohanim. Not so simple. Yes?
When did the Beis Ephraim live?
I believe 300 years ago. Yeah, so these things, we know, I know my family, my grandmother was a Bas Kohen. And that family, the Schwartz family from Pawtucket, Providence, there they actually had a yichus brief. And some shtar that was passed on, that they were kahanim. But even without that, there's definitely a reason.
I know the Levi is not a Levi.
Excellent point. Right? What's your name again?
Jack Levy.
You're right. I had a friend of mine, you talk about a guy named Levy. A good friend of mine, Levy Katz. They asked him for an aliyah. He said, I'm not a Levy. I'm not a Kohen. I'm a Yisrael.
I'm a
right? Right. I know people like that.
Right.
That I'll cast aspersions on their yichus.
Exactly.
But this answer, too, is hard to understand to tell me that we can't do Birkas Kohanim every day because we have questions about people's yichus. It's hard to hear. And Eretz Yisrael, they have better yichus? Maybe Svardim might. But yes?
Why would that apply to Yom Kippur?
Right? Excellent point. Right? He tries to explain it because, look, it's only a suffix, so not to be a vatal completely, that we wouldn't do. It's sort of like a compromise. So adjust to fiyontif, huh?
Some problem. Hi, God, what's up? So many different shilas if you start going down that path.
Right, correct. Right, then maybe you shouldn't bench even on the yontif. Yes?
Also, there is a good genetic evidence.
The Kohen gene. Excellent. I do want to give a share one day about DNA and halacha. Excellent point. Yes, Kohen press.
I think the biggest issue is, okay, if that's the argument, how come they, with all the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, they allow it?
Right, right. And there's, if there are questions about yichus, people in Eretz Yisrael also have yichus issues. Just because you made Aliyah doesn't mean you have better yichus. You might get more mitzvahs. But, so the question, I believe, after this answer still stands. I'll give you a third answer. This answer, you got to be careful, this is the Ramah. The Ramah brings, that's Os Beis. And this is where a lot of it you might want to look up, might be found. There's the halachas of Birkas Kohanim are quite extensive. There's a lot really going on in Birkas Kohanim. And what we're doing today is scratching the surface, but I believe this topic is such an important topic to understand. Why don't we do it every day? So, if you look at Sif Mem Dalet, we'll take it from the top. Kohen Avapishu Panoi Noso is Kapov. A Kohen, even though he's single, does Berachos call on him? What's the issue about being single? It's a very interesting thing. It says, the Ramah explains it a little further. Hagah, Ramah writes, V'yesh Omrim Deino Noso Kapov. Some people say a Kohen should not do dochening if he's not married. The hashori below isha, shori below simcha. Because someone who's not married is not completely happy. Machlok is between you and your wife? And it says specifically, mavarach yishol mavarach b'lios b'simcha. Someone who's making berachas kohanim has to be b'simcha. And I actually saw an interesting point. There's an interesting machlokas between in the Sephardic world. Do we paskin like this mechaber or not? The mechaber writes, "Av bishu pani noses kapov." The mechaber paskins you do. I believe, I'm going to misquote, but I believe it was Ben Zion Abishol. He was a Sephardic Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva Parat Yosef. And he was cautious for this reason. The Mechaber wrote that a single person could do Berachos Kohanim. But he says, it's an issue. And I believe I saw Rabbi Vaji Yosef said, get over it! Okay, don't worry, be happy. Just don't make us so happy, do it. Interesting halacha. Now, continuing on that theme, he continues, starting a line down from by the period. Nagu b'chol medinos elu she'nosep kapayim. This is where you find the Ramah about practically, Birchas Kohanim nowadays in Medinas Elu, in Chutz La'aretz, we do not do Birchas Kohanim, El B'Yontif, only on Yontif. Why? Mishum Sha'oz Shrulim B'Simchas Yontif. This is the connection between the halacha before. Because in Yontif, there's a tremendous simcha. V'tov lev hu yivarech. And there's an inyan, as we said, of a happy person giving this bracha. Masha enkin b'shar yamim, which is not so about all other days. Afil b'shabbosos hashana, even during Shabbos during the year. Shetrudim b'herulim amichiyasam v'al pitam olachtam. Shabbos, you know, there's a din daba darver. We try to keep out our work of the week on Shabbos. But sof kol sof, we're humans, we're honest. These thoughts are in the back of our heads. And people, especially people that had to be most nefesh shmir Shabbos, that was something on their forefront, even when they're keeping Shabbos. So there's a certain element of tirda, of trouble, of bothersome, of burdens on people's minds, and they're not completely besimcha. And it says further, fa'af b'yontif einosu kapayim el b'tfilos mosaf. Even when we do it on Yontif, we specifically wait to do it by Musaf. Right? If you notice in Eretz Yisrael, there, obviously, where they're doing daily Nesiyas Kapayim, that's during Shacharis. But when we do it here by Musaf. She'yotzim azmi beis hakadesh v'yisnu b'simchas yontif. You're excited. I'm about to go home and eat a yontif meal. That simcha happens, especially after a long davening, at the end of davening, when you're leaving. So that's why we put the Berachas Kohanim. Every step is accounted for. It's not by Shacharis, it's by Musaf. And we're doing it by Musaf because there we're anticipating our Yontif meal, we're fully besimcha. And now's the time to make the bracha. Quite interesting. Excellent question. Machaven to the Ramah and the Mishabrel. He brings the last line in the Ramah, and then I'll read the Mishabrel. V'yom kipum nosim bol kapayim kamo b'yontif. He points out, seemingly bothered by your question, Jason, that on Yom Kippur we also do Nesiyas Kapayim, even though l'chora, that's a yontif, but it doesn't sound like simcha. It's a pretty awesome, fearsome day. He says, interesting, by Yom Kippur, some people do it by Ne'ilah, and some by Shacharis. Practically most people do by Shacharis, but there are those who do by Ne'ilah. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot and Kuf Samach Vav, in the bottom there in your sheets, Shulim B'Simchas Yontif, Uvi Yom Kippur Gamkein, Nosot Kapayim, on Yom Kippur we also do Duchening, Sheyesh Bo Simcha, it's Mechila V'Slicha. Fascinating, beautiful. There's a Simcha of Mechila and Slicha that we have. It's such a wonderful day. Rasul Salanter would say, if he had one Yom Kippur in a lifetime, that would be the most precious gift. Certainly, to have the chance to have our slates wiped clean every year, tremendous day of simcha. So, the Ramah's reason, the reason why we don't do Birchas Kohanim every day, even on Shabbos, is because, you know what? To do Birchas Kohanim, there's an element of simcha that you need. And we don't have that on a daily basis. We don't even have that on Shabbos. Because in the back of our minds, hopefully in the back, we have these thoughts and these burdens that we carry. And it's hard to be the simcha. And thus, the only time we do it is on Yontif. Because on Yontif, by the end of Musaf, we're all happy and excited, even in Yom Kippur. And that's the reason of the Ramah. That's what the Mishnah Berurah brings. And, okay. Those are three answers. So the Agur gave an answer in terms of tefillah. People need to be tovel all the time. Hard thing to do. Beis Yosef attacked that. Beis Ephraim gives an answer. Yichus issues. Also not an easy stance to live with. And here the Ramah is giving a third answer. There's a certain element of simcha, which seems the Kohanim need when they do Berachas Kohanim. And just for the record, you can't reach simcha by outside artificial means. That itself is a psul in Berachos Kohanim. So how are they going to get the Simcha? You need innately the day to be a day of Simcha, which is Yom Tov. What about in Eretz Yisrael? They're more happy there. They perhaps. Not so simple. After digesting all these answers, I think the words of the Aruch HaShulchan is very, very appropriate. The Aruch HaShulchan over here, Sif Samach Daled on the top of your page, writes the following words. V'nei vadai ein shum tam nachon l'min hageinu l'vato mitzvah seh debrechas konim kol hashana kula. You know, after digesting, Aruch HaShulchan goes through all these reasons. He writes very strong words. There is no shum tam nachon min hageinu. There's no good reason. Yikes. After hearing all the answers to the question, the Aruch HaShulchan says, I don't know, I don't hear a good reason. And he writes a very fascinating thing further. He says, V'kasvu d'minagaruahu. It really sounds like a bad minhag. The Ramah writes that we have this minhag, but it sounds like a bad minhag. Avo manaseh, but what can we do? Uki'ilu basko yotza. It's as if a basko came out of Shemayim. So haniach lanu lisa kapayim b'chol shana kula. Practically, the idea of Berachas Kohanim is as if there's a baskel that came out from Shemayim. This is a very interesting halacha. We don't have this by many other places. Aruch HaShulchan's writing, even though it doesn't sound to him any good reason, it's as if a baskel came out from Shemayim and said, we can't do it here in Chutz Laaretz. Are you aghast?
Yeah, we know from the Gemara. We don't listen to a baskel.
Oh, that's a fact that you must be learning with your son. It's a Gemara in Yevamos. Correct. But he says ki'ilu. He's being poetic. But it's as if there's a basko, but it's a very good point. That question did bother me. I'll show you a little further. Look what he writes. Huh?
There's a minute that started before that, and we're just, there are songs that we don't understand why this minute exists, and then they try changing it, and things happen. So they said, but it's still a minute from before these are one had these stories. Before the basko,
correct.
Really a minute like that.
Correct. So let me expound on what you just brought up, David. Look at the next line in the Aruch HaShulchan. Umikiblani, and I have a Masorah. It's known. Sheshnei Gdoli Ador b'doros shelfneinu. Two Gdoli Ador in the earlier generations. Kol Echa b'makomo, each one in his place. Ratzo lahanig nesias kapayim b'chol yom. They wanted to put an end to this minhag and start doing duchening every day. And when they set up, they put posters around the shtetl, around the town. When they set up, okay, we're all going to start Berachos Kohanim this date. Problems happened, and they didn't do it. Va'omru, and they said, Sheroim, that they saw, Kimina Shemayim Nigzra came. And this must have been Exerim in Hashemayim. That sounds very interesting. Right? You can't just write a line like this in the Aruch HaShulchan and not explain yourself. He says, I have a Masorah that Gedolei Olam tried this, two of them, and they were shut down. And they took this as a sign in Hashemayim. Now here I'd ask Mr. Meirov's question. Like, to be honest, I'm not sure it's a simple hashkafa, you know. I'll give you a great story. My wife's grandfather, Rabbi Neiman Zatzal, was once going out on a date and gets to his car, turns on the ignition, car doesn't start. Somehow he gets it fixed and somehow on the way it breaks down. So he was thinking to himself, you know, maybe this is a sign from heaven that, you know, I shouldn't be going out of there. Remember he asked Shiva Penach, afterwards, he says, no. We don't interpret things and stuff that happen in our lives as signs of Min HaShemayim. It's called an impediment. It's called your car broke down. Taka, I think, he ended up marrying that woman, you know, Baruch Hashem. So, So these ideas, usually we are not people who are big enough shoulders, broad enough shoulders, to interpret little acts in our lives as divine signs. Be very careful of these things. But I'll tell you who the stories are about. I did some research, I tracked it down. If you look in the back of your sheets, this is a footnote to Shlomo Zalman Orbach Sefer. He writes on the second line, V'zeh loshonu shal shuv et meshev davar, V'zochrani shashamati kemadomer echonti hagon maritz of Bezin of Lozhin, Shepam achas hiskim rabbeinu hagra. One time, none other than the great Vilna Gaon, the Gra was one of these figures who decided we're going to start doing Birchas Kohanim. The ikful min hashamayim, he was stopped min hashamayim. The nilkach l'beisar surim beisam achlokas anora beVilna. The day that he wanted to do this, he got arrested. I found there's another sefer written by the great 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 grandson of the Gra, Moshe Sternbach. Has a sefer all about the Gra and his Minhagim. There he elaborates a little bit more about the story. Basically, we know who the Gra was, the greatest of his time, many times. And the Gra was quite into Betel Torah, did not waste too much time during the day. His few, you know, nearly moments that he slept and ate, it's much from a different world. Yet he spent much time, quote unquote, being Mevatel Torah and Tefillah, to go around and hack and try to set up Berachas Kohanim. Because he viewed that none of these answers were sufficient. Really, it would make sense to do Berachas Kohanim every day. And he worked a campaign to restart it. That's a pretty major authority and a major campaign, the Vilna Gaon. And when the day came, there was some major fight that erupted about the Rav of Vilna. And the Gra was connected to it, and he got arrested, put into jail on the day that he was supposed to start. He eventually got out unharmed, but he took this as now's not the time. Now, if you're the Gra, you could read these things. He was able to see this meant right now is not the time. I shouldn't mess with the minna that's been going on for ages. And step back. But there's a second step and a second story. Who is this other figure that I believe the Aruch HaShulchan was referring to? Shnei Gedol Yom. We unmasked one of them. I'm not going to get in trouble for unmasking. But I got one of them. I'll tell you who the second one is. He writes further, the next line, V'yachakach, Chozvenir Agon Avi Haroim Reb Chaim V'Lozhin. Hiskim B'Yom Echad Shebiyom Amachras Yitzav Elisha Kapayim. He also made a campaign. This is the Talmud Muvak of the Gra. So obviously the Gra felt his Shita was the right Shita, and he passed that on to his Talmud Reb Chaim V'Lozhin. Just he felt in his time right now was not the proper time. So time elapsed. And later, the Talmud, the Chaim V'Lozhin, sure, he knew what happened to his Rebbe, the Gra, but felt that now is okay, now is a new time. Mashana Zman, Mashana Mazel. Mashana Makkel, Mashana Zman Mazel. And he tried to institute Berachas Kohanim in V'Lozhin. Look what happened to him. Uva Oso Laila Nisraf Chatzi Ya'ir. The day that they were supposed to do Berachas Kohanim, half the city burnt down, including the shul. The rov is bonu sheyesh bezeh eizad davar sod besisrei haspas abracha hayoda de Berachas Kohanim b'chutz laaretz vein an tonu yodea ma alma. Chaim V'Lozhin, this put an end to the chapter. The city burnt down. Shul burnt down. He said, I can't do it. And that's what this Aruch HaShulchan means. It's as if a baskol came down from Shemayim and said, we can't do it. He says, the reason, I don't know, Al-Pi Halacha, these reasons don't necessarily stand. But Al-Pi Sod, there must be some reason that we're not roi here in Chutzaris to have this. And he didn't push any further to change the minute. Absolutely fascinating, fascinating stories. Amazing. Now, that itself is where practically we stand on this issue. But I found a tshuva from the Beis Ephraim, who we mentioned before, who really, in this topic, I think gives a lot of perspective. And really, in terms of Birchas Kohanim, once you have these mices with the Gra, Aruch HaShulchan says, like a baskol, that puts an end. Right? No one should be, ready enough to take on, okay, let's try it again. If you know what happened, it's not a smart idea. But really, topics like this do come up. And obviously, each halachic topic unto itself has to be judged and has to be weighed. But the idea sometimes of changing things up from what they were is something that comes up in halacha quite a bit. And I believe the advice of the Beis Ephraim over here is very, very integral halachic advice, hashkafic advice, for all similar type situations. So if you look in the back of your sheets, so the Beis Ephraim is responding to somebody who was also launching a campaign. This was not the Gra, but he was responding to someone who was trying to launch a campaign to change and institute Berachos Kohanim even in Chutz La'aretz. So if you look in the third line of the tshuva, this first layer of understanding something, he says, look, this idea of not doing Berachos Kohanim that the Rama writes, hu mina kodem yoser min chamisha meos shana. First, we have to put things in perspective. Where does this mina come from? How long has this minhag been about? Is it something new? So the Beis Ephraim wrote this 300 years ago. But he said at that time it was 500 years old, this minhag. The test of time is something very valuable. That's the first argument he makes to the person who wants to launch a campaign. Furthermore, you look probably like 20 lines from the bottom of that paragraph. He gives a list of what transpired in the past 500 years. Who acquiesced to such a minhag? Well, you have the Marami Rodenberg, the Tashbats, the Kobol, the Maril, the Ugger, those are all the Rishonim, the Ramah, the Lavosh, the Taz, the Magen Avraham, Choshar Gdoli Adoros Azmanenim. He gives a list. You're trying to change something and mess with something. Yeah. Look at all these people who went through this, and they didn't change it. Furthermore, he makes a diyuk. This is a few lines before that. He says, Va'afa Beis Yosef, even the Beis Yosef, when he writes a Yasha Koach to the Mnei Eretz Yisrael and Mitzrayim that do it, the Beis Yosef, when he attacks the Ugger's answer, doesn't say this is a bad minhag and we should mevatel it, which is something. The Beis Yosef was no wimp. When he saw a minhag that he felt was wrong, he spoke his mind. Many comments of the Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch, he attacks minhagim. All that he did here was give a Yasha Kayak to those who were doing differently. But Beis Ephraim interprets that, a very interesting deal, that he's not totally destroying the minhag. And fourthly, this is an argument he makes at the end of the piece. I really copied the first paragraph and the last paragraph, and there's many in between. But if you look at the end of the piece, the second paragraph, in about the middle of the lines. He writes, V'gdoli ha'doro shahaya kohanim. There are many gedolim who they themselves were kohanim. The Baal Sheres Yosef, the Shach, the Sma, V'achrim rabu kamo, kama rabu shahaya kohanim. Lo echabehem shema libo. There's not a single one of them that had the gall. L'mevud uvda b'nafshe, afshu mechavim mitzvot b'yoser. Even though these are great people, they loved mitzvos. They loved the mitzvah they themselves performed on a daily basis. V'habol l'shanos ha-minog. Someone who's going to change this minog, who mizalzo b'kvodim sharishonim. He's degrading the stature, the honor of these earlier people. It's as if you're saying that they were callous, that they didn't treat so well this mitzvah. And he writes a few lines later, there's no greater defamation for a person's character to do to them. There might be yisurim involved in such a thing. And somebody likes to change, the major burden of proof is on him. So I think, just to review these reasons of the base of Ephraim, he puts into perspective the time frame of how long this minhag went up, how many people were involved in it, even the people who went against the minhag of the Beis Yosef, how strong was their response against it? And this fourth argument, which is the strongest, is if you engage in a campaign to change a halachic topic, which till now, gedolim paskin, this is fine, to go and change that, it could be a tremendous problem of being mezalzel b'kvodem, of defaming them. And that's something we don't want to do. Very, very important, interesting, hashkafic and halachic ideas. He says it here by the topic of Nesias Kapayim, but something applicable for many areas. Any questions? Yes.
I think that's probably the best argument of all, the arguments. But would there be an issue for a Kohen to go into a shul that...
Excellent. A shul that does do dochen.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent question. I'll get to that. Okay? So, yes.
So what were the gedolim who tried to read Buddhism?
Right. So that is a very good question. And I can't answer that because I don't know what the Grel was thinking. I don't know what Chaim Volozhin was thinking. But the simple answer, really, it's the same answer sort of as, you know, I answered Mr. Meiroff. When you're the Grel, that's a different story. Yes?
If the Kohen does not want to do him or he can, should he walk out?
We'll get to practical questions, I hope. A lot of questions on that. Okay. Yes? Interesting thesis. Interesting thesis.
Interesting.
Interesting. What do you say?
Who was the Beis Ephraim responding to? Who wanted to change it?
He doesn't write the name.
Because he lived close to the Grel.
Yeah, it wasn't the Grel. But it also doesn't seem that someone anywhere near the stature of such a figure. So what I'd like to do now is go through some practical issues that we have in terms of Birchas Kohanim now that it's given here in Chutz Lars, we're not doing it. But at the same time, many of our brothers are. Sfardim are doing it here in America, here in Chutz Lars every day. In Eretz Yisrael they do it, in different parts of Eretz Yisrael. So let's talk about those things. So first topic I would talk about is, and this itself deserved its own halakhic share because it's not so posh, is nowadays Baruch Hashem is a lot of travel. People here in Chutz Lars travel a lot to Eretz Yisrael. And it sprung up the idea in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, I myself 20 years ago participated in such a thing. They have minyanim for B'nai Chutz Lars. Yeah. Example, if you be in Eretz Yisrael for Shavuos, I'm sure in many neighborhoods you'd be able to track down a minhag for second day of Yontif. Now, that topic itself is a big topic. It's not so pasha to make such a minyan. But assuming there's a lachik backing for such a minyan, what would you do there? Can you use, or let's do the first thing. Can you use an Israeli to do duchening for you? So I saw a Vosner. This is also in the back of your sheets, on the footnotes of from the Dir Shem Mishabura. Vosner in the Sefer Sheva Levi is against it. For an Israeli to duchen on, for him it's not a yontif. Granted, they duchen every day. They don't duchen by Mosaf. This is not the duchening. For him it wouldn't be, and he said you shouldn't. Where Moshe, in one of the quote-unquote newer tshuvas, in the later volumes, volume Ches, seems to give a tzad to be mekel and to allow to do it. But he does write the tshuva off Tzarech Iyan. He's not sure. So it sounds not so simple. To have an Israeli duchen for an American minion, right? That was a shaila. To be for once they're allowing a minion, could be once you're allowing the minion, so the an American at that minion could duchen. But an Israeli, that's questionable.
Does it matter if that minion is in regards to
Israel? No, that's what we're talking about. Well, that's what. Oh, the next step. Hold on. A lot of times I figure out the next steps people can come up with. So that's talking about a minion of Chutz La'aretz people in Eretz Yisrael. What about the reverse? An Eretz Yisrael minion in Chutz La'aretz. Right? They have those too. Those are a little less easy to find because it could be less Israelis coming in here than us there sometimes. Right? Definitely not right. Vacationers. So there, I also found the machlokas. So many of these things are not clear-cut. These are newer halachas that came about because of travel. So the Stipler said such a thing would be okay for people in Eretz Yisrael who are having a minion. You know, this would come up, let's say, you know, the second day of our Yontif. They wanted to have a Chutz La'aretz minion, which, again, is an even more major shaila, not so simple. But the Stipler wrote in a tshuva that it's okay. However, Rav Elyashiv wrote that you could not. And he said, because that would be under the guidelines of us l'shanus minhag ha'makom. If the minhag ha'makom here is there is no duchening, right? Rav Elyashiv was taking this minhag as a strong, valid minhag that we could say also l'shanus minhag ha'makom. So even though people from Eretz Yisrael do duchen, one can't. One more point that I actually want to reflect back for a moment. You know, I was wondering this, and I just found this in the Sefer. How did it evolve that the people in Eretz Yisrael started duchening every day? It's quite interesting. What I suspected, and I found this in a Sefer from one of the earlier people, Tukachinsky, from the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. He claims what happened was it was really Talmidei Hagra. When Talmidei Hagra reached Eretz Yisrael, they started instituting Berachos Kohanim. And they did it in Yerushalayim and other places. And that's why there is Berachos Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael today. Right? The Sfaradim are doing it because Machaber, the Beis Yosef, said to do it. But everyone outside of that, not. So even though the Gra was shut down, quote unquote, in the Chutz La'aretz, but his Talmidei made it to Eretz Yisrael, and the background of that duchening really stems from Talmidei HaGra. Fascinating. Now I'll share with you a shaila. Before I get to the shaila and yeshiva, let me deal with Mr. Brassus. What about it's twofold, but I'll do the first part. What about a kohen duchening, an Ashkenazi kohen going to a Sephardic minion to do duchening? So I found one person so far that talks about this, from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and he discourages it. Not clear. He doesn't go into a long explanation why. But it seems like, Lemaisa, that's not your minhag. If your minhag is to duchen, you duchen. If your minhag is not to duchen, you don't duchen. And one shouldn't go, if you're a kohen, seek out a Sephardic shul just to duchen. If you're Sephardic, one thing. But that's what he writes. For the record, I did find, I do remember a story, which was on the recipients a little different. I'm pretty sure I remember if Steinemann, the Gedolei Hador in Eretz Yisrael, came to America probably like 15 years ago. And he was, you know, it was the first time ever in America. He was used to duchening every day. I believe the story had it that he would go to a Sephardic minyan to get duchening. That might be a little different. You're receiving it. You're from Eretz Yisrael. Your name is Steinemann. I don't know. But I do remember such a story. Now, hold on. I'd like to just share one story that happened to us. Amazing story. Right here in Yeshiva this year on Pesach. And this thing fell on me. Even before the shir. But it happened to us on the first day of Pesach. We're there. And there's no Berachas Kohanim. There was not a Kohen. We davened here in Yeshiva. And we didn't have Berachas Kohanim the first day. Now, gradually we had a Shiloh. What? You know, I thought, what should I do? I didn't hear Berachas Kohanim. And Yeshiva davened earlier. So should I go to another shul to get it? Right? To be honest, even that's not so possible. They have tshuvas, this whole idea of Berachas Kohanim by the Kotel. There's some halakhic issues and people were against some things there. Not so simple. And I remember asking, you know, I missed it. Are other people going to go? Not. These things are not simple shilohs. But, so what do? But we wanted to have Berachas Kohanim here. So there was somebody who davened by the yeshiva many times. Bacher, I can see who it is. One of the Lefkowitz boys, who recently moved to Eretz Yisrael, and they were keeping one day. Could I have a Ben Eretz Yisrael come the second day to which him is whole to duchen for us? Not Poshet. It really came up a second time too, for the second days of Yontif.
Oh, sorry.
And in the second days of Yontif, it was even trickier in a certain sense, because the last day of Yontif, for him, wasn't even Yontif. It wasn't even Yontif. So I found there's a Shari Tshuva, printed Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, Simin Tov Sari Vav, Ous Dalad. Very fascinating Shari Tshuva. It talks about many halachas with Ben Eretz Yisrael versus Ben Chutz Haaretz and going from one place to the other. There, he writes that there's machlokas, it brings machlokas, Ben Chaviv and others, and he comes out that you could do that even to make a bracha. Bracha is one of the biggest shailas involved, and he comes out that if there's no other Kohanim, 100% this Kohen, Ben Eretz Yisrael, could go up and duchen for the people, since the people themselves, for them, there's a chiyuv of Berachas Kohanim, for them it's Yontif. So they could even utilize a Kohen, who's a Ben Eretz Yisrael, for him it's not Yontif, to do duchening.
Rav Ozner said that's the shoe that you mentioned, Rav Ozner, not to do
that. Rav Ozner was talking, let me just get that clear before I answer you. Rav Ozner was talking in Eretz Yisrael. This is over here in Chutz Haaretz. So it's different. Here it is the Minhag HaMakom. So just to conclude, Berachas Kohanim is something that we really have to appreciate. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And you're right, when we have it a few times a year, it is something which we appreciate more, and it's something that really gives us a lot of bracha. I'd like to end with one story that hits me when it comes to Berachas Kohanim. In Eretz Yisrael, you know, they definitely do Berachas Kohanim different times of the year. It could be quite cold in the winter. And once came across a story of a Yid who's watching the Kohanim Duchen. And this Yid was a very chash of a Yid. And someone observed what he was doing during, you know, he's both Berachas Kohanim, you have to focus very much what's going on. The person's focusing. But he sees this older Yid is like kicking the shoes of the Kohanim. Like wondering, like, what exactly is he doing? And they noticed what he was doing was, he realized the Kohanim, every moment they're standing there on the cold Israeli floors, they're freezing, they're cold. And this older Yid, one every so often appreciates so much the bracha of the Kohanim. Here, let me help him out, let me get his shoes closer to him, put them right on as soon as he finishes. We should all be zocha to appreciate what Berachas Kohanim is, just like that holy Yid, and we should only have bracha in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah.